I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning. Happy Election Day. How about that? To get out and vote. The polls opened about 7 minutes ago. I'll be looking for some information from our listeners this morning on what they're seeing turnout-wise. I mean, for goodness sake, folks, for goodness sake, please tell me that we're going to get better turnout than we did during the April primary. 16%, 15%, 16%. Unacceptable. I know I talked to Rick Stream about this. They expect turnout maybe in the 30s.
I mean better than school board, but
70% of the people don't plan to vote in a primary election where the winner today has a 98% chance, if you're a Republican, of being the winner in November. In the state of Missouri, every statewide office right now is held by Republicans. So whoever you select today is very likely going to be the winner in November. Barring some complete meltdown or disaster, that's what's happening today. That's why it's so important. I've never understood that. I can't remember, honestly, the last time I didn't vote. I don't even know when that would have been. I don't know if that's since I've been 18, I don't know if I've ever not voted. But I mean, I guess it's possible I've missed a school board election or something over the years. But certainly since I've become an adult, I've not missed any votes. But why would you do that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. If you don't participate, you have nothing to complain about. You've got to get in the ring and fight for what's important.
I think what bothers me the most now is hearing people say, I don't really get into politics. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, guess what? Whether you want to get into politics or not, politics is going to get into your life and affect almost every aspect of it. So you better know enough to actually go and vote for the person you want representing you, because guess what? They're going to put things in place that you might not like, and you have no grounds to complain about it.
Yeah.
If you didn't take the time to vote.
Well, we're going to talk about the voter guide here in just a second. Just for those of you who are maybe on your way to the polls, you haven't gone yet. I've given you my picks, my thoughts on those candidates. I'll do that here in just a second. We will get to that for you. We got coverage here tonight on 97.1 FM Talk starting at 7 as the results start to come in. Mark Reardon and a gang will be here throughout the night. I'm sure I'll be calling in at some point. And we hope that you're tuning in here for your results starting at 7 o'clock tonight. First, though, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'll tell you about TikTok. Trump is going to keep TikTok going, whereas Biden and Harris have no idea what it means.
Yeah, there is Donald Trump yesterday appealing to the younger crowd, saying he's going to save TikTok from Kamala Harris. He was with a streamer named Aiden Ross, and kind of courting the youth vote there.
I read the other day that I agreed with Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, and Justice Jackson something like 45% of the time. That's the court I know.
You know, I wasn't here on Monday. I'm just now getting to cover this story, but that was Justice Gorsuch. While it depresses me that he would agree with those three lefties 45% of the time, he schooled Major Garrett, who wanted to spend his 60 Minutes episode tearing apart the Supreme Court.
Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating.
Yeah, that's Democrat Jamie Raskin saying that Democrats already have a plan to try to institute the 14th Amendment to get rid of Donald Trump in the outside chance that he actually wins the election in November.
Record stock market highs under President Biden are good for retirement accounts and household wealth.
Don't open that 401k today. You don't want to see that. Lots of damage yesterday in the stock market. I dropped over 1,000 points. Everything was down. Of course, the weak jobs report was part of the problem for that. There's a lesson here. This is what happens when government dabbles too much in the economy. And that's exactly what the Biden-Harris administration has done. They overfueled it with fake government money. And as that money started to run out, it started to slow down, right? That bite from Corinne Jean-Pierre back in April did not end well. Neither did the one actually from Joe Biden, I don't believe, just last week. Listen to the vacant one. Cut 11, please.
The reason I'm coming over you is I've seen her so late.
Mr. President, what do you want your legacy from James Beach to
be? Well, I'm sure the economy.
Yeah.
What are you
going to do? And the environment.
Yeah. So just so you know, he cured the economy and the environment. Why are we pretending like that guy is still capable of running the free world?
The question is, where is he? His schedule has been basically cleared. I have not seen him doing many press, any sort of really interviews.
No. He's not, because he's not capable of it. He hadn't been capable of it. And you have to bear in mind that whether it's Tim Walz or Josh Shapiro, who gets picked as vice presidential candidate today alongside Kamala Harris, these are three of the many, many, many people on the left who've been lying to you for at least 3 years now about the fact that there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden and he's the best version of himself that he's ever been.
Yeah.
These are the ones that told you that for years. Oh, there's nothing wrong with the president. He's sharp as a tack. I'm in meetings with him all the time. And then, boom, the American people saw it on national television. What we've been telling you for years now. And now when you look at him, he's just lost. He just stares off into space. I'm not happy about that. I'm sad for his family, but he has no business remaining as president. The downside of that is Kamala Harris gets the title if that happens, and that's not a good thing either.
Mm-hmm. But she hasn't done any sort of unscripted interviews since saying she was running. Like, since Joe Biden endorsed her, have you seen her really do any sort of interview?
They have to tightly control that because she's not very quick on her feet.
And they
can't have any more word salad between now and November.
Well, when Gershkovich and the others were coming home, I don't know if you saw this. I think this is when you were in Alaska, but she made some comment that made absolutely no sense. You know, it was kind of like the I want to be unburdened by what has been or whatever. She just talked in circles.
Yeah. And she does that all the time, like when she was talking about how rough the economy was on poor people, even though she thought the economy was good. You still have to understand the challenges we all face.
Bread costs more, the gas costs more. And we have to understand what that means. That's about the cost of living going up. That's about having to stress and stretch limited resources. That's about a source of stress for families that is not only economic, but is on a daily level, something that is a heavy weight to carry.
It is. She's not drunk.
Well,
bread costs more.
Guess what? If you had a 401k yesterday, it is now unburdened by what had not been. Just so you know that. Just so you're clear on what happened in the stock market yesterday. Yeah, in the Harris, under the Harris administration, for sure. All right, I promised you a review of my picks on the election. We're going to get to the primary voter's guide for you next. That is coming up here. We got Senator Bill Eigel at the bottom of the hour. He's I don't know if he's voted yet or not. We'll get to him at 6:37 this morning, roughly, and I'll get to my voter list right after this.
I am the smartest person I know.
Thank you, and welcome back to the show. We appreciate having you on here this morning. By the way, been getting some comments there on the Book of Faces talking about why I chose one candidate over another for the primary here. Well, here's the deal. When you are making choices, in a in an election, you can't pick two. Unlike Donald Trump, who endorsed two or three in some of these races, and I don't get that. I just don't get that, right? I don't host a conservative talk show to not take a stand. Ultimately, you have to make a choice on who you think is the best candidate for each position. Irregardless of polls, irregardless of, well, you know, this person's got a 5-point lead, so that's who I'm going to go with, because you want to try to make sure that at the end of the day, you can say, I picked all the winners. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish in this. I want the most conservative candidate that I personally know of to win that race. And somebody I know is going to be honest in how they carry out their duties in that elected office. We've been screwed as conservatives in the state of Missouri. We have a Republican supermajority that votes like Democrats half the time. And that's ridiculous. They don't do that in Illinois. They run roughshod over the minority over there in the Illinois legislature. So many more things could have been accomplished, but they haven't been. And some of those people that are the reason they haven't been are running for office right now. So we need to defeat them. That's why this list is how it is. Here's my list. You can print it off on 971talk.com and take it with you to the polls if you so choose. Thank you, Carl Middleman. In the governor's race, if you're watching the Facebook page, you'll see that I have my Bill Eigel T-shirt on today. Bill Eigel, in my opinion, is the best choice for governor. Why? He's a disruptor. He's a disruptor. We need somebody like Ron DeSantis in the governor's office in Missouri. And I like Jay Ashcroft a lot. And I think he's a conservative. And I think that he would try to do conservative things. But I don't think he would be the kind of leader and disruptor that Bill Eigel would be in Jeff City. And Mike Kehoe is a Mike Parson establishment, go along to get along kind of guy. And that's not what we need in the state of Missouri right now. So Bill Eigel is my pick for governor, for lieutenant governor. Donald Trump and I agree on this one. He only endorsed one in that race, and that is David Wasinger from right here in St. Louis County. When you're going to the polls, there's a lot of choices on there. Look for David Wasinger. Secretary of State, I picked Denny Hoskins. Why? Because I know Denny Hoskins. He's a great guy, and he's going to be a fantastic pick as Secretary of State. He's going to defend the state. He's going to worry about election integrity. That's the kind of person we need as Secretary of State. For State Treasurer, I picked Andrew Koenig. Everybody's like, well, why didn't you pick Lori Rook? I don't know that much about Lori Rook. I invited her on the show. She never followed up with me on that. I do know she was opposed to an education bill that I think Koenig was pushing, so they've disagreed on that. Andrew Koenig is the reason we have the trigger law in the state of Missouri that banned abortion effectively when Roe got overturned. He's been a leader on school choice issues. He is a conservative, and that's who we need as state treasurer. For attorney general, Will Scharf is my pick. Why? Why not Andrew Bailey? I like Andrew Bailey. I think Andrew Bailey has been a poster child for kind of what you want in an AG. He's been out there. However, my concern is his connection to the Parson administration. He worked for Parson, and now he got appointed by Parson to be attorney general. Will Scharf is supported by every strong, true conservative that I know is voting for Scharf. That's why I picked him. Congress, District 2, I picked Peter Pfeiffer. He's challenging Ann Wagner. A lot of people are like, oh, you didn't endorse Ann Wagner. I'm picking the person I think would be a disruptor, would go to Congress and not vote with the establishment Republicans every time. District 3, Bob Onder, very simple. Congressional District 3, Bob Onder is the only choice. Kurt Schaefer is a lobbyist and a member of the establishment in Jefferson City. We do not need another Blaine Lutkemeyer in Blaine Lutkemeyer's seat. We need Bob Onder. A Missouri Senate, Senate 23, Adam Schnelting. Despite all of the horrible, defaming lies you see in these ads they're running against him, he's a great guy. He's conservative as anybody you've ever met. Good family man. He's a veteran. Adam Schnelting is my choice. Senate 15, Mark Harder is my choice. He's current St. Louis County Councilman who will go down there and make good decisions for us. I'm convinced of that. St. Louis County Council, Mike Archer. St. Charles County Council, District 2, Joe Brazel. Mike Archer, by the way, is going to replace Ernie Trakas. So you need to vote for Mike Archer in that election. Couple statewide amendments. I'm a no on one and a yes on four. And I'll explain those more a little later in the morning. But just know that there are two statewide amendments on everybody's ballot today. You need to understand these. The first one exempts property taxes. I'm a no on that for individuals that start daycares. And I'll explain Amendment 4 later. I'm a yes on that one. It could help the St. Louis Metropolitan Police. It's all at 971talk.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the polls are open, and hopefully you've made your plans to go vote if you haven't done it already. I've got people messaging me online here on the Facebook page that they've already been to the polls this morning, had about 10 people in front of them, according to one of our listeners who chimed in. By the way, we've got election coverage tonight on 97.1 FM Talk starting at 7, from 7 till about 10. Mark Reardon will be here with a host of guests, including me at some point. I'm also going to be over at Channel 4 tonight on their panel, along with Gene Evans. And then they've got, of course, they had to get a couple Democrats on there, Antonio French and Jay Nixon. You know what? I'm going to ask Jay Nixon, because we've got Bill Igel on here who's running for governor. You know, Bill, welcome to the show. I'm going to ask Jay Nixon tonight. Jay, do you know how much bigger the state budget is now than when you were governor? And I wonder if he'll know the answer to that.
Well, if he does know the answer, good morning, Mark. If he does know the answer, he's going to be stunned at how much a Republican governor was able to grow that budget with Mike Parson and Mike Kehoe versus what he was able to do. So, yeah, that should be a real telling moment when you do that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, have you voted yet this morning, Bill?
No, I'm going to go in about an hour, and we're going to exercise our God-given right to cast a vote. So I'm looking forward to that. And today's the day, right? It's decision day. So I'm excited. We come into election day, and you know, all the polls have us exactly tied with Mike Kehoe, which I feel fantastic about. If this race, I knew that if this race ever came down to liberal Mike Kehoe versus myself, we would do very well as the proven conservative in this race. So we just need everybody to get out there and vote. Text, call 10 of your friends, and we're going to be very successful.
I have to admit, I was a little bit confused and irritated that Donald Trump endorsed you, Ashcroft, and Kehoe for governor. What was your reaction to that?
Well, you know what? I'm thrilled to have the president's endorsement. I think the reason he endorsed me and was comfortable with me is because I've been tough on the deportation issue. I've made a commitment to detain and deport every single one of the more than 70,000 illegal immigrants in the state. I'm going to cut taxes. We're going to protect our farmland. All the things that Republicans always seem to talk about in campaign season, but sometimes forget if the rhinos are empowered. And, you know, as far as the other two, you know, nothing's going to change the fact that Mike Kehoe voted for the largest tax increase in the history of the state. Nothing's going to change the fact that Mike Kehoe called our deportation plan foolish. He called it impractical. He's embracing amnesty. That's pretty unusual, a bunch of major Republican candidates. Nothing's going to change the fact that he voted to sell our farmland a few years ago as he was in the state Senate to sell it to foreign countries. And as far as Jay Ashcroft, Jay Ashcroft's taken millions of dollars of Zuckerbucks that has come in and hurt the vulnerability of our elections. And so I just think folks aren't looking for that. I think they're looking for a leader with a backbone to really confront the swamp, and we're going to be that. I'm going to be that person.
Well, you know, I know that locally, and this election is really not about the national economy. We saw what happened to the stock market yesterday, but still, you have to look at how government policies affected that, Bill. And we in Missouri have, I don't know how else to put it, but suckled at the teat of the federal government for years, and we were flush with money from the federal government, and we have way overspent. And how do we draw that back without screams of protest? Because no government program ever gets smaller voluntarily.
Yeah, we're going to have to elect a governor that has the backbone to stand up to those special interests. I mean, the last thing that we need is a governor that's going to look for ways to compromise or make deals with or get along with the swamp, because you're absolutely right, Mark. Every one of those dollars that we're spending and wasting down in Jefferson City, some special interest is getting those dollars, and they're not going to want to let it go. The reason tens of millions of dollars have gone into the Mike Kehoe campaign is because Jeff City knows that he's going to keep the good times rolling for those special interests. So if we come out of today with a guy like Mike Kehoe as the victor, it's not going to be great for what it's going to say about our future. But on the other hand, if we get somebody that's going to go down there willing to confront the swamp, get our tax dollars back, tell the swamp no, we're going to have a whole new trajectory in this state.
And any candidate in particular that you'd like to see win the primary for lieutenant governor?
I haven't made an endorsement in that race. I know that in that race that we have probably one of the most liberal Republicans to ever serve in the Missouri legislature in Lincoln Huff. So I'm confident Missouri's going to make the right decision, but I'm kind of saying anybody but Lincoln Huff, because he should be running in the Democratic primary. So I think that there are some good choices out there. I know that President Trump just made an endorsement last night of David Wassinger and Holly Rader. So there's some good choices there, but I haven't made an endorsement in that race.
Yeah, have you endorsed in any of them, the statewide races, Bill?
I have endorsed in the Secretary of State race, Denny Hoskins. Denny's been a guy that's been with me for 8 years, fighting on the Senate floor. He's one of the most conservative state senators that we have in the Missouri Senate right now, and that's saying something. So I have endorsed Denny. I hope that Missouri makes him I hope the Republican Party nominates him to be the next Secretary of State.
You know, I don't think – I know we've talked about this before when I've had you on. I don't think we can repeat it too often. You are the candidate as senator and now for governor who has pledged to get rid of the personal property tax, maybe the state income tax, but let's focus on the personal property tax. And I've told you before, I've gotten personal phone calls from local mayors freaking out that they're not going to have enough money to fund all of their city government programs if that gets eliminated. Please explain again how that money would be replaced.
Yeah, absolutely. So personal property tax, we got to get rid of this tax, first of all. It's hammering our working and middle class, income class households. The idea that we have to pay rent for the crime of owning a car every December 1st is nuts. 29 other states have already gotten rid of this tax under an Igel administration. We're going to be the 30th. Now, the personal property tax only collects about $1.7 billion a year. So that's what we're talking about eliminating out of government coffers. And the way we're going to make that up is I'm going to go into the state budget, which has grown by $25 billion just over the past 5 years. I'm going to take a chainsaw to that budget. We're going to get rid of all the waste that we have in the state budget, whether it's billions of dollars for earmarks, it's billions of dollars of waste in our Medicaid program, hundreds of millions of dollars of waste in the DESE bureaucracy, whatever it is, we're going to cut down that budget to where we were when I came into office back in 2017, and we will create such surpluses at the state level that the state will be able to keep all these local levels whole when they're no longer getting personal property tax. It's actually a pretty easy step for us to take. We should have taken it years ago. And when we're done with personal property tax, we're going to get rid of income tax as well, because the tax burden in the state of Missouri, it's just too high. It's got to come down.
Yeah, I would just remind people as they're heading to the polls today to remember that the state budget in Missouri, correct me if I'm wrong here, is the same size as the state budget in Illinois, the high tax state where they have twice the number of people, and then ask yourself how that happened.
It's just crazy. We're spending twice per person in Missouri what the other big red states that we want to emulate are spending. We're spending twice per person than Florida, twice per person from Tennessee, twice per person from the state of Texas. And that's why growth and economic opportunity are moving to those states and not to Missouri. What's even more frustrating is that we've been sending more Republicans down to Jefferson City than any of those states send down to their capital cities, and we're not getting any results from these Republicans. And so, you know, the Mike Parson, the Mike Kehoe administration, they want want to keep that kind of that stagnant status quo going. That's why a guy like me is so hated down in Jefferson City, because I'm talking about upsetting all of the good times and all of the spending that they've got going on down in Jefferson City. The swamp doesn't like that. They're terrified of what's going to happen this evening around 8 o'clock.
Bill Igel, good luck today, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great morning. Let's go, Missouri.
All right. Thank you. Bill Igel there, candidate for governor today. He is the one I've endorsed on my voter guide, 971talk.com. You can go and find it there.
I know every time we talk to him, he's in the car. He's campaigning, yeah. And he has been for several months crisscrossing the state. And you just have to wonder what his day looks like today. You know, are all of these candidates, I would assume, still going out from polling location, you know, trying to hit as many polling locations as they can?
I know.
Or are they kind of sitting back and saying, all right, God,
you know, there's a polling
Jesus
location
the wheel.
Right across the street here. And at about 7:30 this morning, Cori Bush is going to show up over there and vote. Did you know that? Just so you know.
I can't wait to wave to her. Should we hold up a sign saying we love you, Cori?
We should be waving at her out the window. Cori, we don't want to lose your sound
bites. Your biggest fans. Let's invite her up for a quick little interview, Mark.
Boy, that race got nasty, didn't it? She wouldn't come on this radio station.
Absolutely
not. Are you kidding
me?
They do not want to be faced with the truth about their stance on Israel and all that other garbage that they spew all the time, for sure. She's even got Mike Brown's dad campaigning for her, telling lies about Wesley Bell and Darren Wilson and all that stuff. It's sickening. And by the way, the anniversary of that is coming up this week. The Mike Brown death back in 2014. 10 years. Wow. All right, we're going to be back in just a minute with another news.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
In honor of today's primary in Missouri, a new report from Axios finds political disagreements have sparked an increase in relationship troubles, with more marriages deciding to call it quits because of their political beliefs. Many of those getting divorced already had pre-existing problems. The issue's only been made worse with disagreements arising about how to raise children, whether or not to use to go to private or public schools, thoughts on gun ownership, and more.
Yeah, come on. I could not be in a relationship, I do not believe, where we were that polar opposite on politics. Like, I'm in for Donald Trump and she's all in for Kamala Harris and every left-wing idea out there. That would not, I don't know how those relationships work, because your lives are at stake. Your livelihood is at stake. The future of the United States is at stake. Those are such polar opposite views. Of course it's causing relationship problems.
It's not just whether or not you like a particular candidate. Like you said, these are policies that impact every aspect of your life. How
your
you raise
job.
Your children.
Yes.
Yeah, your job. I mean, how you protect your family if you feel strongly about that. I agree. There's just no way I could be in a relationship with somebody who felt completely different than I did.
So then here's the question. That's got to come up at the first date, right? Or the second date.
It probably should.
I mean, before you get serious with somebody.
You got to lie nowadays. I mean, try being 26.
Like, you got to lie?
What do you mean lie? Like, if you're conservative,
you just got to go with it. Like, if you know how the younger population is. So, like, dating nowadays, you say one thing. It's like, if you say, it's more so, you know how young men are more conservative?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of young women, they're more liberal. So, like, you say one thing, it's like they call it the ick.
Well, but you know what, though? But here's the thing. That just shows you that you don't want to be with them anyway. So it's quicker way to cast out
Thank
who you,
you
don't want.
True,
because
true.
First date with my husband, I was like, boom, boom, boom. Here's where I stand on some key issues.
Men think.
Yeah, that's
and I'm like, all right, because I'm not going to waste my time. Okay.
Exactly,
I was like 24 or 25 when I met him. That'd be different. But I was in my 30s. That's different. Okay. According to the Pew Research Center, 97% of pet owners will still splurge on their animals, even with inflation, because they consider their pets to be part of the family. Annual cost of owning a dog can range from $1,000 to just over $5,000 a year. Annual cost of having a cat ranges from $710 to about $2,800 a year.
What?
Biggest amount of money was spent, of course, what would you think it is?
No, for a cat? Why would a cat cost $2,800 a year?
Food, litter.
Oh.
Cat toys. They're little tree things or whatever they're called.
Okay.
The cat scratching posts. Aren't those?
I don't have cats.
Thing, right?
Yes,
I don't have a cat. Well, they're going to scratch your furniture if you don't buy them one of their little posts or whatever. The vet bills are like
Well, $700. The vet bills are crazy. You cannot take your dog to the vet for under $200, generally speaking.
Yeah, my sister just paid $1,000 to fix something with her dog's teeth, and he's like 12.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, at this point.
Don't say it.
Nope.
Don't. We're going to move on.
Yep. We're going to get
don't
you
dig
in
yourself
Sue
into
is
a hole.
Right there.
Drew at odyssey.com.
Yep. Email him your complaints. Harrison Butker is now the NFL's highest paid kicker. The Chiefs player signed a 4-year contract extension for $25.6 million, surpassing Justin Tucker's 4-year deal, which was $24 million with the Baltimore Ravens. And speaking of the Ravens, the Chiefs' regular season starts September 5th against the Ravens.
Hey, all of you crazy left-wing pink hat wearers out there, take that. He's laughing all the way to the bank with another $25 million. And you all wanted him kicked out of the NFL.
Yep.
What matters is performance. Ask Colin Kaepernick.
Yep, he kicks butt. Robotic pets are becoming a helpful tool in nursing homes. These robots have become an increasingly popular form of therapy. Researchers have found that these robotic pets decrease anxiety and stress and reduce the need for psychoactive and pain medications, specifically in patients with dementia, and of course do not require the day-to-day care or the cost we were just talking about.
And they're less likely to bite your Secret Service agents. We should get Joe one of them.
Bring Commander into some of these nursing homes.
No, he's not a robot. He would bite people.
Do these robots, I want to know, like, do the robots actually look real? Or are we thinking of like the $10 toys you'd get at like Toys R Us that just go and walk around in a sort. Yeah, do a flip.
But we'd probably be better off with a robotic president at this point, for sure. Man. All right, coming up, we are going to talk about that big Google landmark antitrust case that happened. We got 2A Tuesday, and the current Democrat nominee is going to pick a VP today. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.